I think the last time we had Sedano on, we were debating the Beastie Boys. No debating Run DMC, though.
No, no.
Mount Rushmore of 80s rap artists.
We're on the same page.
On the same page. You ever heard this song, Falero? This is such a legendary Run DMC song.
I can't say that I have.
I wouldn't expect it to. It was never like a hit. So good.
This was later in the party.
It kind of sounds like Beastie Boys.
Well, this was, they had the same producer, and Run DMC called themselves the King of Rock. Like, they, because remember they had that song with Aerosmith where they sampled Walk This Way. This actually came before that.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I knew that Beastie Boys influenced them in some way, but it was them trying to transition over and change genres.
We're going to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Jorge Sedano, George Sedano.
Good word.
Good words.
Genre.
You felt good there.
Hey, I felt real good. And George, he hired me too, so yeah, I want to show him.
Because of your words.
I know words.
Funny thing, Crowder once shared a story with us where the cable guy came to his house and was trying to hook him up, and he was telling you that you could search through the cable box by...
Genres.
And so I said to Crowder, well, did you correct him and tell him it's genre?
No, bro, that's a hookup.
Well, it's not a hookup. Everybody gets the Genries.
So how many Genries did you get me, baby?
And so, you know, I said to Crowder, like you're letting this guy, who knows, if he works for the cable company, who knows how many times he's told people about the Genries. And now, for the future, you could have saved this guy a lot of embarrassment if you just said, hey, bro, it's genres.
That's his parents' fault.
Okay, but just help a brother out.
Oh, I raised two kids.
Genries. All right, George Sedano used to host this show, this time shift on this radio station. He is now with ESPN and ESPN Radio in Los Angeles. He was at the Staples Center last night on behalf of ESPN. He was talking with D. Wade on the court. They're old friends, and it was quite a scene yesterday, George, wasn't it?
Man, Hawk, and Crowder, I did hire you not only for your words, but your looks as well.
Oh, I appreciate it,
now
baby.
We know you're BSing.
Look at that. Oh, don't talk no trash.
Woo, it is getting deep in here. and I'm talking about the words part.
Yes. Well, Hawk, no one definitely would have hired you for your looks. That's for sure.
I know that, man. My words have to be on point.
Great personality, though. Amazing personality.
Oh, yeah, he is. He is the guy with great personality. There's no question. My guess is before Lori, he was the friend zone a ton.
That's his nickname.
I think I still might be in the friend zone.
How did we have a kid?
Look, Hawk, there are certain venues, right, that when you perform in them, it takes it to a different level. Madison Square Garden, for as bad as the Knicks have been, over the years, anytime I've gone to a game there, the games are insane. Like, that's the way that people react to the games are insane. And I don't think that I've ever seen an arena like Staples Center was last night where they were legitimately cheering for Dwayne Wade the entire game. It's the first arena that's done a video tribute for him. It's the first arena that's done multiple, ovations for him, ovation when he came in, ovation after the tribute, ovation at the end of the game, throughout the game, cheering every time he scored. I mean, they were anticipating him going off. He had a rough first half, but he was able to play much better in the second half. Even anytime he got an assist, people were just excited. There was an electricity in that building. It was the best crowd they've had at Staples this year, maybe outside of the opener against the Rockets in LeBron's first game there. All the stars were out. Farrell, Denzel Washington, you name it, and Costner, they were all there. Everybody was there. Gabrielle Union and Jessica Alba, obviously, Dwayne's wife. I mean, it was an electric crowd, an electric event, and L.A. really embraced Dwayne Wade last night, unlike anything I've ever seen for an opponent.
I think Dwayne has done a lot of this. I think this has taken on a little bit of a life of its own because of what he's been doing at each game with the jerseys and signing autographs after each game and embracing the fan part of it. He's been very active on social media, and he acknowledges, like, this is about everyone. And I think it's starting to build in momentum because I think people are really realizing, like, this is one of the best NBA players we've ever seen, and it's coming to an end. The real cool thing I thought last night was they've got genuine affection for each other. Crowder and I were talking about it. Like, Crowder was mentioning that Giannis had said, you know, I don't want to practice with my competitors. I don't want to know what they're doing. And, you know, D Wade and LeBron last night, LeBron knew what D Wade was going to do at the end because they practiced together. And, like, Crowder's not a huge fan of that, but
it's a mistake.
I think there's something to be said about having genuine affection for your competitor. You can still be a competitor, but those two have genuine affection for each other.
Yeah, I think you can compartmentalize that stuff. I mean, Magic Johnson and Isaiah Thomas did that throughout their career, and they competed against each other for championships. So I think you can separate that stuff. I think you can be adults there in those situations. But you're right. It was a blast. And, you know, everybody was standing the last minute of that game when those two guys were guarding each other. And everyone was kind of, you know, laughing when Dwayne approached LeBron at the free throw line and tried to get it in his head and make him miss the free throws. Like, all that stuff was the perfect theater. And you're right. Dwayne has done a really good job of hyping this stuff up. And it wasn't even just the Laker game, even though yesterday was a whole different level. I mean, even at the Clipper game on Saturday, I was there for that. And, yo, I'm not even joking when I tell you there was a legit Let's Go Heat chant going on at the Clippers game. Now, the Clippers are nowhere near the Lakers. You know what I mean? They're like the redheaded stepchild, which is why so many Heat fans were able to get at the building. But it was insane just to see that. And then this Lakers thing yesterday topped that just because I thought the Lakers organization and their fans were just first class in the way they dealt with Dwayne.
And, George, about Dwayne Wade, LeBron James relationship, I was, you know, watching TV this morning, Stephen A. and Molly and them were going at it and saying that Dwayne meant so much to LeBron's career. He might not even be, you know, in the same conversation as Michael Jordan if he never went and played with Dwayne. Is that true? How much did Dwayne Wade really influence LeBron James' GOAT career, greatest of all time career he's a part of right now?
Oh, I think it's a big part of it. Look, if LeBron doesn't leave Cleveland to go to Miami and play with Wade and Bosh, look, he may not have a championship. I mean, I think eventually he's so great that he would have, but I don't think he has three. Look, those three guys getting together changed everything in the NBA. Yeah, we had guys like the Celtics get together, but as we talk about, those guys were a little older. And it wasn't a free agent decision. I mean, do you guys remember how vitriolic it was that first season whenever the Heat went on the road in 2010 and 11? It was ridiculous. They threw batteries at them in Cleveland. Like, it was insane. So they changed the landscape, and I think for the better in the NBA, because they were the first real super team that changed how we view super teams. And they took all the grief for it. But I do think that group that was built there, absolutely aided LeBron, because LeBron, Crowder, then took kind of the knowledge he learned in Miami from Wade and Spoelstra and Riley and basically tried to impart that wisdom in Cleveland. At first, it was met with some skepticism by his teammates because they were young and he wanted, it seemed like, too much from them at times. But it eventually worked out. And it's why he brought James Jones and Mike Miller and all those guys. And if you remember, there was always a guy who used to be on the Heat roster, it felt like, on that Cleveland roster. He tried to get UD to go there, for God's sake. He eventually got Dwayne to go there. So, yeah, I do think that Dwayne's influence on LeBron was tremendous. And I do think it absolutely helped shape his legacy, for sure.
George Sedano is with us. He is an afternoon host on ESPN Radio in Los Angeles. He was there courtside last night, Heat and Lakers. What do you see out of this Miami Heat team? They're going to fight for a playoff spot. Like, they are by no means a sure thing to be in the top eight.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate, I feel like, for them. This is where we the page turns and all of a sudden I'm not as happy about what transpired here or what's been transpiring. I don't think that they are in a position to be a legit contender if they don't get in the lottery this year. This is a lottery year where you have three or four guys who are legit franchise players, game changers. And the NBA is so bunched up right now that you don't even need to be in that top four or five as far as the worst records, I think, to get in the lottery, which is the top three picks. Because the way the lottery reform happened, basically the top three teams only have a 14% chance. So, and everyone else's chances have increased after that, basically through 14 or 15 or whatever it is for the lottery. So it's no longer the worst record gets a 25% chance to get the first overall pick. So that's actually helped teams like the Heat, or will help teams like that who maybe just missed the playoffs and have, like, you know, the seventh, eighth, ninth worst record in the league. So I honestly think that's the best outlet for them, is to try to get another star player. And I think that with how cap-strung they are, it's just going to be really hard for them to find another way to do that. I know in the past, you know, Pat Riley has pulled off miracles, but I'm telling you guys, nobody wants that Hassan Whiteside contract. Nobody wants that Deion Waiters contract. There's a lot of these contracts, and we've talked about this numerous times, that just aren't as tradable as maybe they had envisioned moving forward. So I hate to pop the balloon on a happy day with, you know, the love that D-Wade had been showered with over the last couple of days. But the reality is the Heat need to be in the lottery if they're going to find their next star, because it's not going to happen in free agency for at least a couple of years until they get these contracts off the books.
And why are the Lakers not the goof troop that we planned them to be? George, I wanted to watch this team and see Rondo punching guys in the face at halftime. They have 17 wins. They're fifth seed in the West right now. Why are they not the goof troop?
Well, they were for the first 10 games. They were 11-9, which is basically what happens to a LeBron team. They were 9-8 in Miami. They were 19-20 in Cleveland in his first 39 games. And now they've hit a soft spot in the schedule for the most part. And that's when teams start to gel and try to gel. And they're 6-1 basically since the first 20 games. They're only lost to San Antonio in a game that they blew a big lead heading into the fourth quarter. And basically, Crowder, LeBron has just taken over. He's like, look, I'm going to do my thing. You guys follow me if you want, and we'll figure it out. And he kind of got tired of waiting for those guys to play. And the interesting part about all that is that over the last couple of years, we've seen LeBron kind of wait till January to really get going. And I think he realized in the Western Conference, you can't wait. So he's like, all right, I gave it a month. Now we got to move on. And I got to, you know, get into LeBron crazy, robot mode, where I'm just a cyborg out there and just destroying people. So that's kind of where they're at right now, and they're playing much better. Once the schedule tightens up a bit again and they start playing some playoff teams, I'm curious to see how much ground they really gain. But to your point, Rondo's been hurt. Then he was suspended. He hasn't actually played all that much, to be honest with you. But yeah, the ultimate answer to that is just LeBron has taken over and has been LeBron much earlier in the season than we anticipated.
And LeBron being LeBron leads to my next question. When is LeBron going to David Blatt Luke Walton? Because there was a story last week that he was just totally ignoring his calls. Is Luke Walton going to be the head coach of the LeBron Lakers-led Lakers to win a championship, or is he going to get David Blatted?
Don't make me look bad because I hired you for your words, all right? Don't do that.
I know, man. I got stuck at the end.
I can play a montage if you have the next 45 minutes.
A lot of L's. Too many L's messed me up.
I'd email you a montage, but I don't think you have enough bandwidth.
That's
funny. It happened to me the other day, Crowder. Don't feel bad. I meant to say league lead when I was doing an interview, and I said lead league. It's not lead league. I said league lead. So anyway.
Wait. Long, I got to play something for you, Sedano.
Hey,
because
LeBron,
he hired you.
LeBron,
I got you.
Lakers.
No, I got you. Very difficult. Very difficult.
Go to hell
and you're
smiling.
Used to taking L's. Of course, you were in that 1-15 season, so that's no big deal for you. But anyway, here is Crowder. I know you hired him for his words. Here is Crowder having a phlegm issue numerous times.
And some of those. Whoa.
You all right?
My goodness, I almost died.
Hey, yo, Ace.
Light skin wonder.
Trees of green.
Hey, John, we always... Red roses too. And...
whoa.
I see them blue. And with Wade leaving... Excuse me. They can't go back. And I think to my series of... Excuse me. They can't go back. I have this... What a wonderful world. And some of those...
Whoa. The funniest part of it is he doesn't realize the phlegm is coming, and then he always apologizes. We all hear it coming. We hear it coming minutes or yeah, and then he goes, "Whoa!"
Well, like it caught him by surprise.
Yeah, it always catches him by surprise, but we know it 10 minutes prior.
Oh, that's fantastic. To answer your question, Crowder, LeBron James has ignored play calls from every coach he's ever had, so I just feel like that's a bit of a non-story. And to Windhorst's credit, Brian has mentioned this a bunch of times. That wasn't even the big takeaway. It was the takeaway that got aggregated, that every other website in America took the one line he wrote and didn't actually give the right context to it, because Brian said, yeah, he's ignored his play calls, but that's just LeBron being LeBron. He's basically done that with every coach. And then made it seem like, uh-oh, Luke's in trouble again. First Magic, now LeBron. Luke is not in trouble. Luke is going to be the coach at least this season. Will he be the coach beyond that? I don't know. I think that with LeBron, every coach is kind of day-to-day unless they've got a guy like Pat Riley backing them, and that worked out pretty well for him. But Luke is not Magic's guy. So he's Jeannie Buss's guy, the owner. So that would be an interesting kind of battle if that did come to fruition, where we'd have to see who would win out on that. But at least for now, Luke's going to be there for the season.
George Sedano, ESPN in Los Angeles, did a great job last night on ESPN. And you know, you talk with D. Wade after the game, and we watched the interview. He's at peace, right? Like, he's loving this.
Oh, no question. Yeah. I talked to him both nights, and he actually helped me with a homework assignment because I have a Christmas night game in Utah that I'm doing sidelines for. And he had, like, apparently told me this story about him and Donovan Mitchell, who reminds a lot of people of Dwayne, actually.
Yeah, he loves Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, he told me about a two-hour conversation they had, so it's perfect for that night for me. I told him, thank you for helping with my homework. But, yeah, look, he's totally at peace. He gets it. He joked the other night when I was talking to him at the Clipper game about LeBron going for 50 in Miami. And he's like, how would that have worked if you were there? And he's like, he might have gone for 55. I'm not much of a defensive stopper these days, to be honest. So, yeah, he's absolutely at peace with all of this. And he's enjoying it. And you know what? This is what you should do. He has been a statesman for the game. He is beloved. He's the third best shooting guard in the history of the sport, a top 25 player all time. And I'm being kind there. He could be higher potentially. Enjoy it. We should all enjoy life more, and he's kind of got that time to really kind of reflect, and he's absolutely taking it all in, and good for him.
George Sedano, thank you for making time for us, Sedano. We love it.
You got it, guys. Anytime. Crowder, make sure you cough, man, and sit in the bucket. I got in the trash can.
George, okay? I got a deviated septum, but they don't respect my insurance.
Right. Yeah. Oh, I see. Well, you need to get better insurance, though. I can't help you with that.
See you, Sedano.
See ya.
George Sedano, ESPN Los Angeles. Reminder, Zach Krantz from The Morning Show, tonight will be at Mod Pizza, 11255 Pines Boulevard, Pembroke Pines. He's going to be there till 7 o'clock. Albert Wilson, Miami Dolphins wide receiver, will be there as well. You can get the details at WQAM.com, but it is Zach at Mod Pizza in Pembroke Pines tonight.